have, Lord, that that we as your children would be blessed when we partner and agree, God, with your heart and your spirit. And so that's what we want today, and that's what we pray for today, and we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, we've entered into a time, and I'm just going to review a little bit. We've entered into a season or a time where we feel like the Lord is emphasizing our ability to hear him. And hearing God, you know, as much as you know, it can be bantered around, there is no small theological debate about whether or not people can hear the voice of God. If I say, hear God, sometimes people will say, well, yeah, I hear God in this or that, because there's many ways God speaks to people through dreams, but not all dreams are God. You know, God speaks to people through circumstances, but we can't, you know, always just look at circumstances. God speaks to people through his word, but his word isn't the only avenue by which God chooses to speak. And we're specifically talking about the voice of God, and that, you know, I know his voice sounds like waters, okay? But it also, his voice sometimes sounds like a whisper, but also scripture says sometimes his voice thunders, okay, and breaks the cedars. Well, which one, God? and how's it going to be? And he's like, well, just like you, you know, it depends on the situation how he's speaking, right? You know, if I want to say in a really jubilant way, hello to everybody, I'm probably not going to say, hi. That it doesn't cut it, right? Okay. But if I want to get your attention, I may use a loud voice, but I also may use a really soft voice. I've noticed sometimes, dealing with young people as a youth pastor for years, sometimes if I dial down a little bit and got quieter, people realize I can't hear what he's saying. I'm going to have to quit talking. Again, just little tools, you know. God might do that too sometimes, saying, well, I'm talking. And that's the question. Our key verse really is just found in Deuteronomy 8 that says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That proceeds from the mouth of God. I mean, he's saying, I speak and you can listen. And so God is speaking, and sometimes we're just wondering what he's saying. Because that really, if I talk to most Christians in just conversation about things that's going on, it's sort of the one response is pretty for sure. Well, I have to hear what the Lord is saying about that. Well, let's see what God is saying about that. Well, what is God saying? You know, if God's already spoken, did I hear him? You know, is this kind of like, well, I'm not sure what God is saying. And I just think in the season that we're in, we are moving in a direction that's going to require us to really be in tune with God's voice. You know, the thing that highlighted, and again, it's just a circumstance. It's not anything that I'm worked up about. But when we began to move the direction of getting a facility that will more better accommodate us ministering to the children and being able to do what the Lord has called us to do, there kind of comes up just a whole lot of commentaries about what is God saying? You know, is God saying? And as much as we believe that we're equipped, according to John 10, and that's the other scripture that we're using, that Jesus refers to us being sheep and ability to hear his voice like five times. In verse 3, he says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them out by name. So, I mean, the idea that God speaks your name, knows your name, and is talking to you specifically is conveyed there in that. That the sheep follow him because they know his voice. So his leading and us following is somehow connected with the voice of God and being able to hear what God is saying. That there will be others, and he said there's some others, other sheep, that will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's talking about unifying people groups. I think specifically there it's Jew and Gentile, but that doesn't necessarily, you know, it means that just because you hear God doesn't mean there's not going to be somebody else that you're not aware of that also hears God, and there'll be a joining together. And then there's other indications. When Jesus spoke to Pilate in John 18, he makes this profound statement. He says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. You know, and that kind of puts in a little bit of, well, okay, am I of the truth? Because if I am, then I'm to hear his voice. See, what it boils down to is, do people believe they can hear God? And the answer is, according to Scripture, yes, because you are equipped to hear God. God wouldn't ask you to do something that didn't give you the equipment to accommodate. And you know, some say, well, especially when you're saved, because the Spirit of God is now in you, the one who speaks now resides within, okay? And that's a wonderful, that's absolutely true. But even beyond that, how did you get saved? Because you didn't have that Spirit inside you, but you heard something saying, you need Jesus. You heard something saying, you can't save yourself, and your sins have separated you from God, and I've made a way for you for those sins to be completely removed and for you to be connected with God. You heard his voice. Okay. It may have sounded like your voice at the time. That's one of the things we have to acknowledge and recognize, is many times God's voice, because it's inside of us, sounds like our voice. Okay. I mean, when I got saved, I was saying, I'm a sinner. I am a wreck. I am a drug addict. I am crazy. And I'm suicidal. I'm everything crazy. Look in the dictionary and my picture's there under crazy. I need God. Now, was that me coming to a conclusion? Or was that God just speaking? And me coming to agreement with, that's all true. I cannot save myself. I am destined for destruction, and I'm already going there really fast. I heard the voice of God. It was the voice of truth. As cool as you think you are, as much as you think you have it together, you don't, and this thing's a train wreck waiting to happen. And I said, it already happened, but it was getting worse. It was off. It was running off the rails, but it wasn't going to get any better. And so you hear God, even as an unsaved person, tell you, you're a sinner and you need salvation. You're separated and you're not made to be separated. You're meant to be joined with the one who made you. Okay? So inherent in the human condition is the ability to hear God. And that's got to be dealt with right up front, because there's two things that keep us from hearing God's voice. And one is a wrong perception of God. We don't think he cares. We covered it a little bit earlier today. He's distant and far away and unconcerned with us. Or he's mad. You know, he saw what you did, and he's just ticked at you. And so, you know, nobody wants to talk to you when they're mad at you, right? And God's mad at us because we're not perfect. And so we go down that rationale, and then we just say, well, God wouldn't talk to me. He might talk to that person. And again, religion thrives off that wrong paradigm. Let the holy man hear for us because we're unworthy. If you're looking for that, you're not going to get it here, okay? The holy man doesn't exist. Well, he does. Jesus is his name, okay? But the picture of, that's what religion seeks to capture in the brokenness of humanity. Draw near to me, and I will lead you. No, draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. And hear his voice, and you'll know that he's speaking to you. And it'll be confirmed in his word. It'll be confirmed in your heart. It'll be confirmed in other ways. But God is speaking, and he does speak, number one. And number two, the other thing that keeps us from hearing God's voice is a wrong perception of ourselves. That somehow we're unworthy. We don't have what it takes. Our humanity, our darkness, our sin. You know, one of the first things many religious circles teach is sin separates. And though that has a thread of truth connected to it theologically, it also has some error connected to it theologically. I literally talked to young men who were deeply involved in some theological studies years ago, telling me that if you sin today and you don't confess it immediately and you died suddenly because you had sinned, you would be separated from God and you would go to hell. Okay, and it was kind of the picture was that on the inside of you, Jesus lives, except when you're bad, and then he jumps out. Okay, and then when you repent, he comes back in again, but if you, as long as you're good, he stays. Okay, now I know that sounds silly and foolish right now, but beloved, there's entire denominations that are living under that false paradigm. And so if you're raised in that, you're aware, hey, I've messed up, so I can't hear God right now. Well, I'm telling you this, and I don't mean to say the sarcasm, but if you messed up and you can't hear God, you really are messed up. Because the only only hope you have if you're messed up is to hear God so you can agree and get back on track, okay? How disqualifying is that? Well, I've messed up, and now I can't hear God. Well, now you really are messed up, okay? Because when you messed up, you better count on being able to hear God so you can repent and return. See how religion would seek to separate us from relationship and cause us to enter into some type of legalistic dogma that actually has no life on it? So hearing God's voice is so important, and what we're, you know, basically doing is, instead of me teaching all about those things, is I've asked some people to share. Last week we just had some beautiful things shared by Colleen and by Kevin. Colleen, I missed your announcement. That's all right. Okay, we'll get it at the end. Okay. And so I asked a few people today to share as well. And so Amy said that she would share on how some of the things that are top line for her in hearing God. So Amy, if you would come this morning. And that's really, I just feel like there's so much more available to us when we actually can get a collective perception on how we hear God and what God says. Okay, here we go.
Thanks, Scott. He kind of set me up for what I was going to talk about because I came from that religious background. Yeah. So that's actually what I was going to speak about a little bit before I talked about how I hear from God's voice, because I definitely know what the voice of God does not sound like. So that kind of helps knowing what the voice of the Lord really does sound like. So my background in church is exactly what he talked about. It was earning your way. It was, you know, doing enough, being enough, that sort of thing. Which is never enough. So until I finally found the true nature of God and just pursued who this man is, I just knew that all those other things came up empty. So I just, you know, came from this background of, you know, I was athlete, that sort of thing. So the discipline thing came naturally to me. So if I just tried hard enough, if I just did enough, then I would really, you know, be able to get that formula down. You know, if you give me X, Y, Z, I do it, and here's the desired outcome. But knowing God isn't that way. It's not a formula. And you can't, you know, put him in this box that you're gonna do all these things and then he'll speak to you. You'll have enough quiet time and then he'll speak to you. You know, if you just would have, you know, spent 2 hours with the Lord, then he'll speak to you. Then he would have filled you with his spirit to pray, you know, into this person's life or give you a word of knowledge. He's not like that. He's such a personal God. And I'm so thankful for that he knows my love language. He's the creator of love languages. You know, there's five love. He's the creator of the five love languages, you know, to know exactly how you receive a word from the Lord and you hear his voice. So I'm just thankful for that. You know, he didn't create all of us cookie cutter, you know, that we all hear from him in the exact specific way. So I'm just so thankful for that, you know, that he's making it personal. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to know that he sees you and he loves you and he desires to have that relationship, that close personal relationship that religion that I grew up in did not offer. You know, when I think back on growing up in the church, you know, we went to church each Sunday, and I did the catechism, I did the acolyte. The only thing that I remember is singing and worshiping. That's the only thing that actually stands out in my mind of, like, now this makes sense to me. You know, all the other stuff did not make sense to me at all. It was something I did because someone told me to do it. You know, and it wasn't God telling me to do it. So anyway, that's why I appreciate Scott actually asking a lot of different people to get up and share about how they hear from the Lord. Your teaching's great. But when people can actually get up and just share how differently we all, you know, God's the creator of all of us. He creates us uniquely. We're all going to hear from him in different ways, and it's good. It's okay. He wants to. It shows the different facets of the Lord and his personality and how he shines on us. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for just allowing people to have the freedom to get up and share how they really hear from the Lord. I appreciate him asking me to speak specifically because it's done a couple different things. One, when someone asks you to speak on something, then it causes you to ponder the question, like, how do I hear from the Lord? You know, it's probably something that I don't think about often. I don't just sit there and go, okay, today, what do I need to do? That would be easy for me to do. Here's the formula that I need to do to hear from the Lord, but that's not how it works. But it caused me to remember, how has the Lord spoken to me in the past? Which increases my faith when I remember. It's the remembering. He's spoken to me before, and he'll speak to me again. Even in that dullness, even in that dryness, he's still working, you know, he's still moving. So we know that he will speak again. You know, obviously God spoke things into being, you know, him speaking is so important. So, and so I just feel like the Lord was just saying to lead with vulnerability today. So just so you know, like my background kind of is just coming from this place of feeling unworthy about myself. And I kind of talked about it a little bit about, you know, I used to know, you know, the unworthiness, you know, what was opposite of, you know, what the Lord's voice sounds like, you know, because the opposite of what the voice of the Lord sounds like is condemnation, and you're not good enough, and if you just do more, those sort of things. So when I actually started digging into the Word and knowing the truth and knowing the nature of God and knowing who he is, he really opened up things to me for to hear his voice better, you know, if I would ask. So, you know, I just feel like he just wants us to boldly come to him. He's an approachable God. I never thought that he was before, that he just, like Scott said, didn't have time. You know, he was busy. I had to go through someone else who was very spiritual to get to this man. So anyway, that kind of leads me into what I was going to talk about. That the other thing that I was thinking about was that there's really a battle going on for us to not hear the Lord. So whether the battle is the enemy really wants us not to hear the truth, wants us to not hear the Lord's voice, or it's just our flesh with busyness and different things, which can be caused by the Lord too, or caused by the enemy as well. But, you know, when Scott said, hey, do you want to speak on this? You know, instantly I knew these aren't things that are from the Lord, because the thing that came in was, oh, why would you speak, you know? You don't really hear from the Lord that much, you know? Like, what qualifies you? Why would you talk? And then, you know, just different things like, well, you know, you don't spend nearly as much time in your quiet time than you used to before you had children or before you had a spouse and that sort of thing. Or Colleen spoke last week and Kevin spoke last week. Now they really hear from the Lord, you know? Why would you get up and speak? But anyway, so that kind of leads into how I hear from the Lord, in the sense that I feel like I have to position myself rightly. And position is our posture. So it's always like my heart before the Lord, you know. So it's my heart before the Lord, my attitude before him, the arrangement in order that he's above and I'm below, he's big, and, you know, but he still sees me, that sort of thing. So the first thing, I'm going to just kind of go down the list of, you know, me being in the right position. And like I said, this isn't like a religious thing. I don't go through these things and go, okay, now I'm going to hear from the Lord. But I just ask him, like, what would be the best success to set me up to hear from the Lord? And what would take me away from hearing from you? So the first one is silence the accuser, you know. So any lies, I just try to replace them with truth, you know, about who I am in Christ, that sort of thing. So I kind of go down the route of, Lord, speak truth to me. Like, if I'm feeling a certain way, please take that away. Here's the truth. You know, I really seek out the truth and who he says I am in Christ. The second way is just come into his courts with thanksgiving, gratefulness, a grateful attitude. You know, if I'm having like a complaining attitude, that sort of thing, it kind of hinders me from hearing from the Lord, because, yeah. And so, and then that gratefulness, it kind of stirs myself up too, you know. It gets the spirit flowing, you know, it just stirs up the fire inside of me, that sort of thing. So the next thing is just a humble posture below God, so that I can receive what he's pouring out to me, so I get below him, so I can receive him. You know, I like to go on little prayer runs and things like that, and I had to confess to the Lord and just ask for his forgiveness about trying to be the Holy Spirit to my husband on things and trying to be the boss of him. It all came about because of an issue with my child, saying they're not the boss of me. And the Lord just kind of brought it to my mind that I try to, you know, boss at times and be the Holy Spirit, and that that's not my job. It's not my place. So anyway, just that humble position below him so that I can receive and not think too highly of myself as I ought. Then the other thing is just release this rock of offense. So if I have bitterness, if I have resentment, if I have pride, those sort of things, that those, like I look at it as a river, and those rocks of offense that I have slow down his flow inside of me. They just slow down. They just kind of, you know, make it go a little slower, you know. But if I can remove them, if I can confess them, repent from them, and take them out, then his river freely flows. So thank you, Lord, for that. And then I just put on here that I can wade in the water, you know. Then I can just, like, sit there and soak and just be with him. Another thing is just focus. Turn from busyness and turn to God. So I eliminate, you know, try to eliminate things that are good things, but they may not be the best things, you know. And believe that God wants to speak to me. You know, he gave me this picture, and I was going to talk about it later, but when I was journaling one time, I was just feeling alone and like, oh, Lord, like, you know, just kind of sharing with him and stuff. And he gave me this picture of, like, just him pulling up a chair, you know, and just looking intently at me, listening, clinging to every word I said. Like, every word is so important, you know, that so if we could come with that position, like, wow, Lord, every word I say is so important to you. Like, really? Is that true? And I believe he said it was, because he gave me the picture, you know. So anyway, so pretty much don't want to put, like, a limit on how God speaks to me, you know, or when he speaks to me, or where he speaks to me, or who he speaks to me through. And, you know, a lot of times he'll speak to me when I'm doing dishes or just some weird, crazy places that I just wouldn't even expect it. And like I said before, just remember that he's spoken to me before and he'll do it again. You know, just believe that. And then the last part was just a simple conversation. You know, there's a song about it. It's a simple conversation. And I was reminded the other morning when I came in to get joy of just kind of like a picture. Like, each morning we do what's called snuggle time. So when she wakes up, I come in and I say, oh, Joy, it's so good to see you. And I hug her and we go to the couch, and then she just wants to talk. She just likes to talk to me. You know, can we talk, Mommy? Can we talk? You know, so she says that a lot. And I'm like, oh, of course. You know, I never say no. You know what I mean? And I'm flawed. You know, so Jesus, you know, God, he's always going to want to talk to us. So I kind of look at it that way, like, oh, my snuggle time with the Lord in the morning, you know. So, but really, you know, I have that quiet time. I have the snuggle time. I read the Bible, that sort of thing. But I look at all those as ways to prepare me for what he wants to speak to me later, or who he wants to bring in, you know, that I need to, like, I think it was Colleen that said it, you know, he gives me something so that I can give it to somebody else. So I'm looking for those things, but I just want to become still in all the moments that I'm looking, like, you know, if he brings a person to mind that, you know, I haven't seen in a while or that sort of thing, that I'm like, oh, Lord, okay, I'll pray for them. You know, I don't know what that's about, but hey, I'll pray for them. He knows exactly, you know, what they need. Or, you know, a lot of times he'll bring someone that I haven't seen from, you know, high school, and all of a sudden they'll pop into my head and I'll see them later that day. That happens a lot. I'm like, whoa, that is so awesome. You know, you were like setting that whole thing up. So those are kind of all the different ways, just to position myself, get myself right before the Lord. And you know what? Even if I don't do those things, he still speaks. He still speaks anyway. You know what I mean? So to specifically talk about how he speaks to me individually, and some people may be able to relate, I have these. He talks through emotions, and I'm not just saying, I don't, like, put weight on every emotion that I have that's from the Lord, but I do know that there are certain times that I know it's from the Lord, you know, because I'll ask him, Lord, what are you saying about this situation? And then he'll speak something about it. So for me, it's mostly tears. I'm a feeler person. I feel his heart for the hurting, that sort of thing. I feel things like in the atmosphere. And I use that as opportunity to pray for things, not always, but I want to be obedient. And the thing is, I used to feel a lot of shame about that. I used to be like, oh, I don't want to be an emotional person, you know. And then I started coming to church here, and I saw Scott cry all the time, and then it was totally fine. He's like, just go ahead and cry. Like, it's totally fine. But actually, the Lord just kind of gave me insight into that, you know, it's actually a gift from him, and it's what makes me close with him a lot, you know, and it's a tie connection. A lot of times, you know, if I'm feeling kind of dull or we're worshiping, and if I just close my eyes, it's like instantly he can bring this emotion, and I'll just ask him about that. And it's just this overwhelming love for me and for a person or someone specific that he's speaking to me about. Another way is pictures. A lot of times he'll speak truth to me when, you know, I watch children dance. A lot of your children come up here and they'll dance and they'll worship. And he just brings me back to this place of when I was a child, and just that's what he wants from us is just this worship, this wholehearted worship for him. And he takes me back to a place of healing and just this innocence of a child. And so he really speaks to me in that realm, just when I watch children specifically, that he just really delights in that childlike worship, you know. So he speaks to me in that realm as well. And then through people, Scott kind of talked on it earlier a little bit, but through people, and a lot of what how he speaks is, I see you, you know. Like people that might not know things, you know, there's Roger and I went to New York in 2012 for a friend's wedding, and you know, we'd never been to New York before. I was just like, Lord, let this trip be about more than just going to a wedding. Can you show me that you're like, that you're with us, that you're there? Can you show me something? And we went on this trip, and we're walking in New York just down the streets, and there's millions of people everywhere, you know. And this guy walks up to us, and he's like, hey, how's it going? We're like, oh, good. 3 hours later, we're talking about the Lord. He, you know, it was just like a simple conversation, but he ends up like prophesying for us, telling us we're going to be children of many nations. And this was in 2012, you know. And then talking about, I remember he said something to the effect of, you know, people hear from the Lord in many different ways. You know, like when you run, when you hear from the Lord. And that is one way that I hear from the Lord. So it was like, wow, God, you see us. You sent that person, you know, like, wow, you heard me. And then you spoke with the person, and then words of knowledge through that person. So, and then also Milana, he speaks through Milana a lot to me. when Roger and I were in a courtship, you know, one of the verses was Matthew 6:33, seek ye the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. And, you know, we were at home fellowship one time, and Milana sits right behind us, and, you know, she just goes, Roger and Amy, seek ye first. And I was like, what? Wow. Okay. That's a good reminder. I like that. And then, you know, just sometimes she'll say daily bread, you know, and it'll be a confirmation of something that I've already been kind of thinking about already. And then she'll say the word, and it's like, wow. And so what I wanted to say about that was, you know, I don't pass off when children speak words. You know, I don't believe that every word they speak is from the Lord. But I don't pass off when I hear a word and then the Lord speaks to me about that. So I really believe that he wants to speak through these children that he says have faith like. The next thing is prayer runs. So for me, this is like a big one. You know, one time I just spent, like I went on a run for like 7 miles, I think it was. And the Lord was speaking to me to go through the alphabet, A through Z, and just say the names of the Lord, like who he is, A to Z, you know, almighty, you know, believing all, just the whole way through, A to Z, just keep saying that over and over and over. So I did that. And then like halfway through, he gave me A to Z of who I am in Christ, you know. And so he spoke these things over me. This is who you are in Christ. And I was like, oh, okay, that's really cool. Well, then after that, Anne asked me to speak at the Vision Conference on noble identity, who you are in Christ. I didn't know at the time that, you know, like, it was just something like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. God, that really increased my faith. Like, that's awesome, you know. But, I mean, I just think it's cool that he just is in every single detail, you know. He doesn't miss a thing. He's in all of it. And then another time with the prayer run is that he, when I was getting ready to speak, you know, the enemy was coming in. I had to replace those lies with truth. And so he gave me, I'm qualified because the Holy Spirit's in me. Because I really felt like I'm not qualified to talk on who I am in Christ, you know. And so I just repeated that for 30 minutes. I said, I just over and over and over and over, I'm qualified because the Holy Spirit's in me. I'm qualified because the Holy Spirit's. And at the end, he spoke and said, I'm qualified because the Holy Spirit's in me. Like, I heard him, not, you know, audibly, but I heard him, like, I resonated with it. It's like, yeah, I have a piece about this. I am equipped because the Holy Spirit's in me, you know? So anyway, that was another awesome time. Another couple times that he spoke was, I taught aerobics at the Fit Club for 14 years before I came to Christ. It was identity. You know, I taught at 6 o'clock in the morning. Most people knew me as an aerobic instructor, taught at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's what, you know, you are, identity, that sort of thing. And I really kind of believed, like, I'll be doing this my whole entire life because I couldn't, you know, it's my identity. And then Roger and I were in courtship, and just out of nowhere, I was driving to the Fit Club, and I just heard him say, okay, this is your last time teaching. You know, and I was like, oh, and I knew it was from the Lord because I was like, okay, I heard you. Yeah, it's good. Okay, I'm done. You know, and I knew because really, I mean, in my mind, I thought I will never be able to stop teaching, you know, because I had so much identity tied into that. I was like, wow, God, that's cool. So I, that day, sent my email and I'm, you know, gave 2 weeks, you know, I'm done teaching. And, and then the other time was when the Lord spoke to me that I was to walk away from the marketplace and just spend time at home with him, worshiping. You know, and again, he basically said, worship, I'm worthy of worship. You know, we were, I think Kirk Bennett was here, and I had kind of, you know, Roger and I had thought, okay, well, when we get married, I'll probably not, you know, I'll stay at home, I'll take care of things at home. And so I was just asking the Lord, what's the timing? What's the, you know, when we have children, okay, that seems like, you know, I can tell my parents, like, that's a good thing. Like, okay, we're going to have children, you know, that sort of thing. That's a reason to stop working, you know. But the Lord spoke to me when we were here and said, no, you're going to stop working, and I'm the reason, and that's what you're going to tell people. So I did. Like, I told my boss, I told my friend, you know, and so he got the glory. He really did. And not everybody, I mean, I don't know that anybody really, you know, they were just like, wow, okay, that's different, you know, but they, I mean, I think they knew me well enough to know that, like, oh, she must have heard that from the Lord probably, you know, or she wouldn't be doing it. So that's another way. I'm wrapping it up. Another way is journaling. I'm saving the two that I really hear from the Lord the most for the end. But journaling. So for me, it's like I have these feelings and I have to get them out so that I can let the Lord just saturate me with the truth. So get the lies out and then get the truth in. So for journaling, some of the ways that I do it is just I sit down and I just start writing. I don't think about what I'm writing. I'm just writing. Every thought that pops into my head for, you know, 3 minutes or however long it is. And I just write. And then about 3 or 4 minutes, it doesn't happen every time, obviously, but he'll just start hitting me with a whole bunch of truth that I didn't even know that I needed, you know? But it was getting all that other stuff out that allowed him to, like, really speak to what I needed to hear. So that was just another good time. Another time was the courtship with Roger, and, you know, I really wanted to hear from the Lord on, like, should I marry this guy? You know, like, what plans for the future do you have? I knew that, like, I couldn't go on the feelings, you know, like, my feelings had totally lied to me in the past on any type of relationship, so I could not go on feelings. Like, I had to know that I knew that the Lord said, this is what you're supposed to do. So for that specific time, I just fasted food, and I went into the woods, and I journaled my feelings down, which, you know, were a lot of insecurities. You know, you're not godly enough for this man, you know, all these different things. And he just took me to Isaiah 43:19 that says, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness, a stream in the desert. So it's like I had been going in this wilderness for so long, you know, of just looking for love in all the wrong places, that sort of thing. And it's like, I'm doing a new thing here. Do you perceive it? Do you see it? I'm trying to do something new. You can trust me with this. So that was another time that he spoke to me. Okay, so the last part is kind of just wraps up what Scott said. You know, the Lord speaks to me in song a lot in worship when I'm just worshiping freely. There's big times that he'll speak to me, but mostly it's just in my kitchen, you know, just me and him just worshiping, and he'll just give me little songs, you know, that just, like, tell me that he sees me, that he knows my needs, those sort of things. When we went on a trip to Tennessee in February, you know, I had these grand plans of, oh, it's going to be so relaxing. I'll have all this quiet time. You know, Joy will nap, and, you know, I can just read the word. I can journal. I can do all these great things. And she was sick the whole time. So I was taking care of baby. So I didn't get that quiet time. But at the very, very end, Roger's like, why don't, mind you, this is February, and it was the coldest time of the year, but he's like, hey, why don't you go out in that jacuzzi, you know, and just have some quiet time, some alone time. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, you know. And so I'm sitting out there, and I'm just, like, looking up, you know, like, oh, wow, God. And he, like, it hits me. He gives me a song, you know, like, just about how the stars, he named them. He knows everything about them. How much more does he know about me? And that he knows everything about me, and yet he still loves me. He knows everything about me, and yet he calls me lovely, you know. And so I've been singing that song over and over and over in my heart, and he just continues to speak it to me. So that's refreshing for my soul. And then the last thing I'll just close with is just he gave me, like, I don't know, I guess it was right after I left the marketplace, and I asked him, you know, it's like, wow, you know, my testimony, I feel like, like, I have all these things. How do you wrap it up? You know, like, if I'm trying to tell someone, oh, here's how the Lord just, you know, captured me, you know, that sort of thing. It's like, how do I share that with someone? It's like, oh, it seems like so entangled and so much going on. Like, you know, in the marketplace, it was like you always wanted to do your 30-second elevator speech, or, you know, that you could wrap it up quickly, easily. And I'm like, wow, Lord, like, I don't know. So I started writing, and then he gave it to me in a song, you know, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. And so it was really awesome, because basically I just go around the house and I would sing my testimony, and every time I sang my testimony, it just was like, oh, I remember all you've done for me. This is awesome, God. Like, you gave me this testimony song. I haven't shared it with anybody yet, but it's doing something for me, you know, like, this is cool, you know. So then I just kept asking, I'm like, oh, Lord, when do you want me to share this, you know? And then Ann asked me to speak at the Women's Vision Conference about the Who I Am in Christ, and I really felt like he said, lead with vulnerability there, you know, which is pretty vulnerable. And so I shared my testimony story, my testimony song there, and I felt like he really gave me some freedom in my heart, you know? So I felt like he spoke to me that I was supposed to write it, you know, he gave me the words, and then he allowed me to release it, you know, so that other people could be set free. So I thought that was pretty cool. So do you want to hear my testimony song?
Yeah.
I might need a drink, I don't know, of water. Just in case anyone was wondering. I've got one. Oh, Joy's bringing it. Joy's bringing it. Thanks. Oh, you have to go. Oh, okay. Okay. There you go. So I asked the Lord, am I supposed to share my testimony song this morning? And I felt like he said yes. I thought I heard his voice, like, yes, there's somebody that's going to be here that needs to hear, you know, this song. So anyway, I can't believe I have not used these. Yeah. And that just did it. I'm going to use them here in a second. Hi, sweetie. Okay. So this is a testimony to the Lord of his goodness, his faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, that you are faithful, that you write our stories before we even know them. Thank you, Jesus, that you see us, that you delight in us, that you deliver us because you delight in us. You speak to us because you delight in us. Thank you, Father, that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and you delight to make people free in Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You see, it hasn't always been like this. You know, loving my Jesus. When I was a little girl, my innocence was taken from me. And the devil came in with his lies, unworthy, damaged goods. Who would love you? Who would love you? So it became about performance. Best student, best athlete, best child. Then they'll love me. Then they'll love me. You see, I had religion, but I had no relationship. The outside of the cup looked clean. Inside was a total mess. So I went looking for love. Oh, I went searching for love in all the wrong places. I gave my heart away to anyone who gave me the time of day. But soon that faded too, and hurt set in. Oh, rejection set in. Shame and guilt made their home in me to stay. So I married a man who didn't know the Lord. When something better came along, he was out the door. More hurt, more pain, more rejection, more shame. More hurt, more pain. More rejection, more shame. And it went on and on and on and on. It went on and on and on and on. It went on and on and on and on. It went on and on and on and on. But thank God. God started speaking to me. He said, it's not your destiny. I've got a plan for your life. Lay it down and come be my wife. I'm faithful, I'm true. Everlasting love, I'll have compassion on you. Fear not, you won't be ashamed. I've called you out and given you a new name. I'm your husband, you're my bride. Together forever, all fear aside. That's when I found out that Jesus is enough. Contentment and joy, just the two of us. He redeemed me. He restored my soul. He redeemed me. And he made me whole. He redeemed me. He restored my soul. He redeemed me. And he made me whole. Amen.
Thanks. Thanks. Wow. Okay. Amen. Yeah, anybody pass the Kleenex around? There we go. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm just going to have one more. Just going to have Dan come this morning and just share his insights on how he hears the voice. Thank you, Amy. And Okay. Well, you don't have to. You can wait till later if you want.
It's up to you.
It's up to you. You want to just go next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Dan will go next week. Okay, good. That would be hard to follow, but that's good. Yeah, there's something on that. So let's just stand here for a minute. We're just going to wait on the Lord. Just stand before him. Father, we just thank you for what Amy shared today, Lord. And Lord, we're just so appreciative of how good you are to us and how all of us, God, had a story, Lord, that the enemy would seek to write, Lord. But you already had decided, Lord, who we are. You knew us before you formed us in our mother's womb, Lord, and that you called us to be your sons and your daughters. And Lord, we thank you today that you even encourage us. Psalm 95 says that the Lord loves us, and it says that today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. He says that not because he's mean or because he's got a superiority complex. He says that because he knows that he wants to bless you. And when you hear his voice and you agree with it, it opens the door to receive those blessings. You might be here today and been resisting what God's saying because it's going to require risk or it's going to require vulnerability, or you may have never said yes to the Lord in a way that you surrender your life to him. But I know right now that God is speaking to hearts that we could say yes to Jesus, and that he would take our hurt and our pain and our guilt and our shame, take our performance mentality or our unworthiness right now and cancel it forever. Cancel it forever. That you never have to be under the weight again of what you've done or not done, of what somebody has done to you or didn't do for you, how you were treated or rejected or ignored or abused, all those things that seek to steal from you. Today his voice is saying, I can remove it forever. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us. Now, this is going to take a little courage, but today, if you know he's speaking, you know that he desires you. You may have been saved for a long time. You may have never said yes to Jesus. That's not the point. But he's speaking to you today that he has more for you, that he wants to set you free from that which has held you and that which has caused you pain and heartache and struggle and difficulty. I would like to pray for you, and others would too. And so I'm just going to ask right now that you take a step of faith and you just come up here and just stand in front so that we can pray for you. I know we're not going to try to embarrass anybody, but you know the Lord has been speaking to you today that things that you've struggled with, unworthiness. Or you just said, you know, I don't even know who I am. You know, Amy just talked about identity today, just finding out who you are. And you're struggled with thinking you're this or you're that, or trying to go through different avenues or activities thinking that those things will define you. Jesus loves you. Your Father knows who you are. And his desire is that you would discover the truth of how much he loves you and how he formed you and fashioned you. And he's not ashamed of you, and he's not holding you at arm's length at a distance waiting for you to shape up. He loves you just the way you are. And he wants your life to be filled with his blessings. He wants your life to be no longer about performance, no longer about the fear of man and what others might think, but all about how much he loves you and how much he created you to live in that love. So if you're here and you want prayer for today in this area, I just invite you, just come forward. Just come forward. Let God set you free today. Let God once and for all sweep that away from you. That's been nothing but a burden, and that's been nothing but a point of difficulty and contention. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we give you room right now to move on each of these. We give you room right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm gonna pray for each one of these, but I'd like somebody to get some of you to come behind each of these two and pray for them until I get to them right now. Thank you, Father. See, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not pushing people over. He's not forcing his way on people. He's here and saying, if you would like, I would deal with these things. Will you open up your heart to me? If you would like, I would deal with that which seems to have weighed you down and kept you from the place of freedom that I created you for. Would you like me to deal with that for you? He loves you. He has nothing but your very best interest at heart. And that which he's highlighting today seems like an immovable boulder to you, but it's nothing for him. He flicks it away like a pebble. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Right now, Lord, we just bless each of these. God, we pray for each of these right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, freedom, that this enemy, this difficulty, this struggle, Lord, that has seemed, Lord, like it's never going to go away. Today, we cancel the assignment. And we thank you, Lord, for a new perspective. We thank you today, Father, for freedom from that which the enemy intended as evil, to hold and to hinder and to keep them from the very best you have for them, Lord. Today, we proclaim the liberty and the freedom through the blood of Jesus, through the word of the Lord that says, freedom from every accusing voice, freedom from every bondage, freedom from every past fault, failure, sin, or difficulty that has somehow sought to lie and say, this is who your identity is. You're a failure. You're not perfect. Lord, today we respond in him, and he is our righteousness. He is our holiness. And today we say, God, we receive our identity as sons of the Most High, as those who have been made holy because of the blood of the Lamb and the working of the Spirit today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've equipped us to hear your voice. Thank you, Jesus, that we choose right now to lay aside every offense, to lay aside every false identity, to lay aside every merit system and performance mentality. Lord, we thank you that you don't measure us on our performance. But Father, you measure us as those who have said yes to your Son. And that qualifies us today, Lord. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for that freedom. Thank you for the liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we declare, Lord, sons and daughters today that have been liberated, Lord, are free to serve, free to fly, free to follow. God, that they hear your voice and a stranger's voice, they give no attention to. Thank you, Lord, for healing hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for renewing and refreshing of the soul of those that you love today. And we just release a blessing. We say you're blessed of the Lord today. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. You're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field. You're the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are the one that he sees from far off and he runs to meet so that he can wrap his robe around you and put his ring upon your finger. You are the one the Lord loves. Today, the inheritance he has for yours is yours. We say, receive it now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And you're free just to hang out here for as long as you want this morning. Thank you all again for just your faithfulness today. And we just pray God's blessing upon you. Ask the Lord would continue to bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you and lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You're beautiful.